Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome. Today's Daf is Yom Lametes. We begin the new Perek, which is about a quarter way down the Daf. Now the Kohen Gadol approaches the pair of goats placed beside him, one on his right, one to his left. One is meant to be brought as a korban chatos, and one meant to be sent out to the midbar to be thrown off the cliff. The one that's meant as a chatos was called Lashem chatos. The other one was called La'azazel. How's it going to determine which one is meant for what? Says the Mishnah, Toraf Bekalfi. He took the kalfi, which was a box, the lottery box, which contained the two lots. He gave it a shake, and he thrust his hand into the kalpi, and he came up with both lotteries, with both tickets. Echad kosev ol Lashem. On one ticket was written Lashem, Lamed, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, similar to the tzitz. Echad kosev ol La'azazel. The other ticket had the word La'azazel written on it, to the cliff. Haskan b'minay. The reserve Kohen Gadol, the backup Kohen, was to his right. V'roish beis av mismoiloi. And the head of that day's contingency, that group of Kohanim working on that day, the head of that group, the roish beis av, was positioned to the Kohen Gadol's left. Now, im shel shem ola b'minay, if it so happens that the ticket that had on it the word Lashem came up in the Kohen's right hand, Haskan Oymerloi, the Skan who was positioned to his right, would address the Kohen Gadol and say, Ishi, my master, Kohen Gadol, Hagbeya Yimincha, lift up your right hand, and show off the Lashem Chadas. Vim Shal Shem, Ola B'smoyloi, and if it so turns out that the ticket which had the word Lashem ended up in the left hand of the Kohen Gadol, so Rosh Beis Av, who was standing to his left, he would announce, Oymerloi Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hagbeya Smolcha, lift up your left hand. And then, of course, the Kohen Gadol would continue and place the gorillas on the animals, and he would make an announcement and say, well, this is Lashem. This is meant as a chatas. Nisanon al shnei asirim, he placed the two lots on both goats, one on either. Va'omer, and he announces, Lashem chatas. This one is Lashem chatas. As opposed to the other one, which is La'azazel, this one is Lashem, and it's a chatas. Rabbi Shmuel, Oymer lo yitzorech, Oymer chatas. There was no need for him to continue and say, Lashem chatas, and Lashem. All he would say is Lashem, and you automatically know it's meant as a chatas. The first to explain, it's based on a question of how to learn the psukim, the Torah. The pasuk says, we have one of the goats, Asher ola olav hagar Lashem, and the pasuk continues, V'aso chatos. So Rashi in Chumash says, Asher ola olav hagar Lashem means that actually the Kohen Gadol has to announce. It's a mitzvah for him to announce. This one is designated for the Lashem. The pasuk continues, V'aso chatos. That's the question. According to Tanakama, it means he's going to announce and everything. It's all part of the announcement. Lashem chatos, meaning not only am I going to contrast this one, as opposed to the other one, which is La'azazel. In contrast, this is going to be a chat, Lashem. But he has to continue and say, Lashem chatos, which will be magdish, which will designate this carbon to be used as a chatos. So this is a designation, it's a hegdish, it's the beginning of the akrav. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel says, as long as you draw that contrast, you draw that parallel, that difference between the two, that one is La'azazel, no, this one's Lashem, we automatically know it's a chatos. Lashem means it's going to be a chatos. In fact, the pasuk says vaso chatos simply means that you're going to be makriv it subsequently as a chatos. But that's not part of the announcement. Now, what's the Kohen Gadol expressed the shame on the mefirash when he said Lashem or Lashem chatos? It deserved an appropriate response. Everybody there would respond by saying Baruch Shem Kvod Nachusoy. Yilam Vod, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned from a pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call out the name of Hashem, Hova Godel Elkeinu, you respond in kind. Nowadays we say Baruch Baruch Shmoy, or Amen at the end of our bracha, but in the Beis HaMikdash, which was the makam of the Machal Hashem, especially because they actually express the Shem Havaya, which denotes that Hashem is the Echad Yochad Miyuchad, the one and only power in the world. That's the testimony to Hashem's absolute Malchus and being the source of all creation. The fitting response was Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusoy Leilam Ve'ed. Let's take a look at Rashi. So beginning from the words Teref Balkalfi, beginning of the Perek. Teref Balkalfi, it says Rashi Shanin in Perek Shalomalo. As we already learned earlier, V'kalpi Yisushan, there was a lottery box. Yisushan actually learns that it's Minat Torah. It brings the Torah's Koinim. We learn from the Pasuk. There needs to be some sort of box. Taraf Pisoim Betrefa B'chatifa, quickly in a hurry, thrust his hands in. Rabbi Chananel says he would actually shake up the lottery box. V'heloshne Garolais, and he came up with two. Echad b'imin, v'echad b'smol. One in his right hand, one in his left hand. V'asirim oimdim, echad b'imin, v'echad b'smol. And the two goats, positioned likewise, one to his right, one to his left. V'noisein goyrel, sh'oyle b'imin, l'sarish y'imin. And the lot, which came up into his right hand, he would place on the goat, which was situated to his right, and likewise, regarding the one to his left. V'heinon in achrov, k'shem maskus Hashem, they say, baruch shem. Continues the Gemara, La Mali Toyerf Bekalfi. Why does he have to shake things up and thrust his hands in? Suddenly, Kehechi Diloy Nechave in Velishkol. So he doesn't have the opportunity to be Mechaven, to go ahead and purposely pick this lottery or that one. Meaning, we're going to see soon the Gemara was a schut, it was actually an advantage to have the Shem Hashem come up in his right hand. And as Rashi says, it was a Simon Yafa. Because you know, the Shem Hashem, as Marsha explains, denotes Rachmim and Chesed from Hashem, Yudke Vavke, the source of all creation. The whole world is but an expression of Hashem's passionate love for mankind. So everything is included in Shem Havaya. Shem Havaya is the goodness, the good of all goodness. So that was very appropriate for Yom Kippur, where we needed an added measure of Rachmim and Chesed to be mechaper on the Averis of Klal Yisrael. And the fact that the Shem Hashem somehow came up in his right hand, now the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, again, denotes Rachmim, Chesed. The right is the stronger one of two hands, giving, powerful, and all-encompassing. And that corresponds to the Midas HaChesed of Hashem. So when both things came together, the Shem Hashem turned up in his right hand, that was a good simon. Things were going to go well that year. And perhaps the Kohen Gadol would purposely orchestrate things in that manner. So we had to shake it up and thrust his hands in suddenly to avoid any sort of rigging of this lottery. The actual box was made of wood. It was not Kodesh. And it only had room to contain both hands and no more than that. Mask of Ravina. Ravina asked the Kash. Bishloima Eino Machzekes Elish Toyodayim. I understand why it was only big enough to accommodate both hands. So you would thrust both hands in together, lift up a lot in each hand. I understand why. Ki Heichi Deloid Lechaver Lishko. So as not to give him enough room to maneuver around and to purposely orchestrate the lottery. So only has enough room to stick his hands in, pick up a lottery, and take out. Elishal Choyba, why do you say he was a non-Kodesh vessel? Nigdesha, why wouldn't they be Magdesh if it was used for the Avoida? Imkein Havolokli Shoreshalitz. The more answers, because if it would be Kodesh, and it's wood, it would be considered a Klisharis Shalitz. Ukle Shoreshalitz Shalitz Leyavdinon. And although there's a Machlekes and Menachis, whether or not one may make a klishar shalitz, meaning, is it kosher? But all agree, uklishar it's the eitz lo yavdinon. Lechatchila, we don't fashion a klishar of eitz. It's not covered. V'na'avda the kesef, v'na'avda the zav. Okay. A wooden copy is incompatible with klisharis. Fine, make it of silver, of gold. And then be mekadosh. Ha, Torah chasa. Al mamonish yisrael. The Torah was extra careful. I'm meticulous when it came to preserving Giddush HaGelut, so as not to bring about extra expenditures on account of Yisrael. Save the money. Rashi brings a raya because by the Metzora, who had a nega in his house, the Torah says, clear it all out before the Kohen shows up. Perhaps something will become tamein. he'll lose his possessions. And the Torah is concerned about the property of a rosh, certainly property and money of tzaddik. So therefore they kept it wood. It was just a once a year thing. It wasn't really a high level avodah here. And they kept it simple, wood, and therefore it could not have been considered a klei shoris. Mas nisen bloy ki'aitana al mishnah, which maintains that the Kohen Gadol, only the Kohen Gadol, would thrust both hands, right and left, into the lottery box and have one ticket come up in his right and one his left. It apparently is not in line with the following Tana, who holds that we didn't use left hands. You know, left hand is pasul for avoda. He held he not meant to use the left hand in this process of hagrola. Rather, what would they do? This sanya. Rabbi do Eimah Mishum Belezer has gan the Kohen Gadol machnisen yodan bekal. It was a joint effort on account of the Skan and the Kohen Gadol. We used both their right hands to accomplish the Hagrola. They would both stick in their right hands into the Kalpi, and each one would take out a ticket. This way, you're not getting the left hand involved. And what happened? Im b'minei shel Kohen Gadol oile. If it so happened that the Lashem ticket came up in the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, which was special, Hasgan oimer loy, Hasgan will turn to him and say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master Kohen Gadol, Hagvei Yemincha, lift up your right hand for all to see. V'im b'mina shel Hasgan oila. But if it so happens that the Kohen Gadol's right hand came up with the Lazozel, and the Lashem ticket ended up in the right hand of the Hasgan, remember they both thrust their right hands into the box. In that case, what happened? Instead of the Hasgan speaking, the Reish Beis Av, Oymerloy le Kohen Gadol, the Rosh Beis Av would address the Kohen Gadol and say, Daber Milach, speak your words. Which words? As we went to the Mishnah, he would have to announce and designate Lashem Chatas. This is the one for Lashem Chatas. So, although it so happens that the Skan was a lucky fellow who came up with the Lashem in his right hand, but inevitably, the Kohen Gadol has to do the process, and he was the one who announced Hashem Chatas. But it wasn't the Skan this time that spoke to the Kohen Gadol, rather the Beis Av, the Reish Beis Av. But namely, Skan, why wouldn't the Skan speak to him again and say, Kohen Gadol, speak up, say Hashem Chatas? The answer is, we were concerned. There was a subtle psychological concern here. And we wanted to be sensitive and preserve the Kohen Gadol's honor and dignity, kivan de lo yisalek biyadin. Since ultimately, the word Lashem did not end up in the Kohen Gadol's right hand, rather in the Skan's right hand, chol shadat, perhaps Kohen Gadol will feel bad if the Skan turns around and starts speaking and addressing the Kohen Gadol directly. He's the one that usurped me. He's the one that came up with Lashem in his right hand. So perhaps it would appear boastful and haughty, and therefore we don't allow the Skan to get in. We push him aside for the moment. We say, let's get an uninvolved party to continue the procedure. And he was the one, the Rosh Av Bezdin, was the one who continued the procedure, and he addressed the Kohen Gadol in a respectful manner. So in the Mishnah we learned that the Kohen Gadol would stick both hands into the Kalpi. One would come up in his right, one on his left. Whereas in the Braisa, we have Rabbi Yehuda Shita. We needed right hands only. But since Kohen Gadol only has one right hand, it was a joint effort between him and this guy. They both put their right hands in the Kalpi, and each one took out a lot. But Ma'akim Mifligi, what's the point and basis of these two Shitas? Mar Savar, Yemino Diskan. Rabbi Yehuda on the Braisa holds the right hand of this guy, although he's not a Kohen Gadol, and it's Yom Kippur, where all the avodas are meant to be performed by the Kohen Gadol, still and all he holds that the right hand of the Skan is odif mismoile the Kohen Gadol, is superior to the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. Left is more than just not right, it's left. It's something inferior. It's something that could be to the detriment of the avodah. Usually when the Kohen Gadol will do an avodah, or any Kohen, with his left, it's possible. We don't want to get the left involved at all. Instead, we choose the Skan's right hand in conjunction with the Kohen Gadol's right hand. Umar Sava, whereas our Tana, who holds that Kohen Gadol himself will do the entire job using both hands, right and left, it's inevitable. As the Tezis Shanim says, we find by Torah says, well, and when he walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's too much for one hand to handle. He has the kaf, but the machta, what is going to be in his left hand? It's part of the process. Therefore, our Tana, our Mishnah holds, Mar Savar Ki Adad Ininu. He holds, actually, the right hand of the Sgan and the left hand of the Kohen Gadol, they're both of equal value. Each one has an advantage and a disadvantage. Here we have the Kohen Gadol, but it's his left. Here we have the Sgan, he's not the Kohen Gadol. It's a chasarn, but he has a mila. That is his right. So they're both of equal value. They cancel out. And if that's the case, why not go back to the Kohen Gadol? Have him do the entire process. Apparently he holds that there's nothing wrong with left per se necessarily. It's just not right. It's not the right hand. So it's not a negative factor. It's just lacking the right hand. And therefore he says, rather do that then get this gun involved, who's not a Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, Uman Haytana, the Palagale Rabbi Yehuda. We know that Rabbi Yehuda holds, right, carries the day. You need this gun and Kohen Gadol being involved. Who's our Tana, our Mishnah, who disagrees with that concept? Who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda? What's his name? Rabbi Chanina Skana Kahanemu. That's his name, the Sanya. How do we know that he holds that the gun would not be involved in the Agrola? Brisa says, the Sanya Rachanina Skana Kane Maimen. Lomos Gan Maimen. Bach says Maimen. Why is he always walking alongside the Kohen Gadol to his right? What's the point? Shem Ira by Psul be Kohen Gadol, because if something happens to Kohen Gadol, it becomes unfit for Avoida, Nichnas Skan Humashamash Tachtub. At that point, the Skan becomes activated and he takes his place. But otherwise, he has no active role in any sort of avoida. He's there to accompany the Kohen Gadol, to be mechabed the Kohen Gadol, to appear like he's his vice president, which gives cover to the Kohen Gadol. That's it. He's not going to get involved in hagrola and avoida. So apparently, our Mishnah, which tells us that only the Kohen Gadol would do the Hagrola, and the Skan was uninvolved, is in line with the Shita. I would prefer the Kohen Gadol, despite the fact that he's going to have to use his left hand. We prefer that than getting the Skan involved. So in summary, we have two Shitas regarding the process of Hagrola. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we need right hands. Kohen Gadol only has one. So we get the Skan involved. They both insert their right hands, and each one comes up with one ticket. According to our Mishnah, we prefer the Kohen Gadol, despite the fact that his left hand will have to get involved. And he does the entire process, putting both hands in, taking out one ticket in each hand, and placing them on the respective goats, placed his right and left. Tana Rabbanan Arboim Shana. Oh, now we're going to learn about the Mila, the Simon Yafe, regarding the Lashem ticket ending up in his right hand. Tana Rabbanan Arboim Shana. Sheshimeish Shimon HaTzadik. You know, Shimon HaTzadik was a tzadik, a Kohen Gadol, who lived in the first period of the second Beis Hamikdash. He was one of the Shiorei Knesset HaGdolah, as we learn in Pirkei Avos, the first Perek. So during his tenure, during his 40-year tenure as Kohen Gadol, many great things happened on account of his Zchus. Number one, Hayo Goyro, Oyle B'Yemen. The Goyro would always come up in his right hand. The Lashem would always be found in his right. Mekan Ve'elach, after his passing, hit or miss. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Pa'amim Oyle B'Yemin, Pa'amim Oyle B'Smoil. Sometimes the word Lashem would end up in the right hand, sometimes in the left. Number two, Ve'yaloshen Shel Zohiris Malbim. They had a red piece of wool which they hung up on the Heichal door, or eventually later, they actually sent it out with the Sar Lazazel to the Midbar, as we're going to learn Be'ez Hashem, the Masechta, and it would turn white, from red to white, as a siman that Hashem was Mechaper. So this happened throughout his tenure. Pa'am Mikan Ve'elach, but afterwards Pa'amim Malbin, at times it would whiten. Pa'amim Einei Malbin, at times it wouldn't. Number three, V'hoya Ne'emar Ravi Doilek. The Ne'emar Ravi in the Menorah would just burn and burn and burn on and on throughout the night and the next day until it was time to relight the menorah. So this is a miraculous burning, because it had the same amount of oil as all the other ones, and it just kept on burning. The Gemara says this is an edus, a testimony, a living edus, shashchina shari b'Yisrael, that Shechina dwells amongst Yisrael. This happened throughout his lifetime. It became kind of eloch, but afterwards, pa'amim daylik, at times it would burn, pa'amim kava, other times it would go out. Number four, v'ya eshel ma'rachim izgaber, and the ish on the mizbeach would just keep on going without any need to resupply it with new wood. They wouldn't have to resupply the wood. Of course, except for those two blocks of wood, which was a mitzvah. This was during his lifetime. After Shimon HaTzadik's passing, sometimes it would just keep on going. Sometimes the fire would just dissipate. And the Kohanim wouldn't hesitate to bring Malahavi Eitzel Marocha Koyim Kuloi to resupply the Marocha throughout the day. Number five, Vinishtalcha Brocha. It was a Brocha which was applied to the Oimer Ba'Oimer B'Shtei Alechem Lechem Aponim V'Chol Koyin Shemagia Kizayis. Now, it was such a Brocha that it was just enough. It was sufficient for all Kohanim. Everybody got a kezayis. V'chol koyin shemagia kezayis, yesh oichle v'saveya. So the Kohen Gadol was on a high madrega. He would eat the kezayis, and be full. V'yesh oichle yumoyser. So a standard Kohen, get full. But a Kohen on an even higher madrega, v'yesh oichle, it would be another Kohen who'd eat that same amount, umoyser. Not only would it satisfy him, he would even leave some over. So based on the Marsha, it seems that there was a double bracha, quantitatively and qualitatively. Firstly, there was enough for all. A kezayis per kain. And number two, that kezayis was stretched, went for a long way. Mekan ve'elach, but after his passing, nishtalcha me'ira, be'omer, u'shtei lechem, lechem panim. A me'ira, a curse, was applied to these things. And twofold, had a twofold effect. Number one, there's only very little per kain. And number two, it wasn't very filling. And every kohen would just get a lentil, bean-sized portion. And since it was so small, and it also wasn't really filling, the finer kohen would just pull away and wouldn't get involved and taking that little bit. It was useless. It wasn't a share. It wasn't satiating. And those gluttonous fellows, they would insist, they would grab whatever it was and eat it. There was even a story with one of these fellows, he not only took his part, he took his fellow's portion as well. They gave him a title, Ben Chamtzon, a thief. Chamtzon is a thief. So Ben Chamtzon, you're a real thief. They called him that name until his very last day. Omer Rabba Bar Shilo, my crow. What do we find in the pasuk that chamtzon chometz is related to thievery? Pasuk in Tehillim says, "Alekai palteni miad rasha, save me from a wicked fellow mikaf ma'avil v'chometz." Chometz here is a thief. Rabba Amar Mihacha from a different pasuk, "Limdu heitev dirshu mishpat ashru chometz, teach justice and ashru, defend, strengthen." The chametz, the fellow who was robbed, ashru chametz, strengthen the victim, but alta ashru chametz, and not the perpetrator. Rashi says, this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin explains, it's not really pertaining to us. In any case, we have extra minutes, so let's just look back at the Gemara before. Interesting taste of Yishanim on the kapul. The Gemara says that the Kain only get a small drop of lechem upon him, so the tsunua would decide it's not for me. Says to Yishanim, Oimer Rebbe, the davka magia kapul. This was only because he had a small amount. Avol bekezayis. Suppose he would have gotten a kezayis. Lo yehoyu moishchin yedeim. Everybody would just take it. They wouldn't pull away. Ki dimu lekayim mitzvah achila. Because they would have been mekayim at least the mitzvah. A kezayis achila. But in this case, it wasn't really a mitzvah zachila, since it was only a small amount, then it didn't really fill them. Meaning that there were two things. Firstly, the amount, the quantity. Wasn't a shir. Wasn't a shir achila. There was no mitzvah to achilas kachem. Eating a kachem, a truma kachem is a mitzvah. But if it wasn't a shir achila, wasn't a kazais, what's the point? And also, it wasn't really satiating. So on account of both things, if it would have been a kazais, it would have taken a mitzvah achila. If it would have been satiating, so at least that much. Even if it's smaller in size, but the satiating effect sort of makes up for the shir. And it would have been somewhat of a mitzvah to engage in that. But since both were missing, they pulled away. As opposed to when Shimon HaTzadik was around, so A, they got a shir, it was a kazais, and even if they would have only gotten a smaller amount, he brings a Gemara in Pesachim that even a pull, a bean-sized piece of lechem apana would be enough to satiate the kohen. It was a bracha, even qualitatively. They would have taken it happily. Why? Because it's saveya, it's masbiya, it's satiating, and the fact that it's less than a shir, the quality, the satiating effect seems to take the place of the shir, and it would have been a kiya mitzvah zachila. Incidentally, it's mashal from Tosfos Yeshonim that otherwise there really isn't a mitzvah to eat kashim. There's a big shaila in the achronim. You know, we paskin that, we're going to see it later on, the mesechta, it's machlekes, actually, between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, whether chatzis shir is also min haTorah. You know, you can't eat a kazayas on a vela. What about half a kazayas? So you wonder if Ayin Dal Adam Ralf brings a machlekes. Rabbi Yechon says that even less than a shir is aser. It's forbidden. Even though he's not going to get malchus, not going to get an einish, but it's iser. Even less than a shir is aser. Shalos, what about a mitzvah? The mitzvah to eat a kazayas, matzah on Pesach. What if he doesn't have a kazayas? Is there a point of eating a half a kazayas? A chatzi mitzvah. It seems from this Tosfos Yeshonim that there really isn't a key mitzvah in less than a shir. And there isn't even a inyan to eat less than a shir of a dvar mitzvah. Continues the Gemara back on Amud Beis. It's worth five lines from the top. So we spoke about the tkufa of Shimon HaTzadik. So during that point in history, we experienced great nisim, but after his passing, there was yes and no. Sometimes yeah, sometimes no. That very year that he passed away, Omar Lam, he turned to them and he said, "You meant to know that this is my last year, Bishana Zuhu Meis, this year." Who? Spoke in a euphemism, in a third person language. Mashal says, Aliftach Adam Pela Satan. Interesting, even though he knew, we're going to see soon how he knew, but he knew that he was going to pass away, but he didn't want to speak directly, perhaps get an extension. So he spoke third person, Bishana Zuhu Meis. He's going to pass away this year. Omer Lai, they asked him, Manayna Tehdeya, how do you know? Omer Lam, he says, Behold Yom Kippur. Every Yom Kippur, Hoyimiz Damali Zokan Echot. I would encounter this elderly fellow, of course, was a Malach. Tosfos Yeshonim says, he was an expression of Hashem. So I would find this Zokan who would accompany me into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Zokan Echot, Lovish Levonim, Batef Levonim, dressed and wrapped in white. Nichnas Imi, Yatz Imi. He walked in with me, and he came back out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with me. But today is different. I encountered a Zaken. Dressed and wrapped in black as a sign of Avelas, of mourning. He came in with me, but didn't leave with me. Which indicates, as the Mefarshim explained, it indicates his no return. He's going to connect to Hashem. He's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, cleave to Hashem eternally, and no longer come back. Achar regel, indeed, after Sukkos, cholo shivas yom, he fell ill for 7 days, umeis, and he passed away. V'nimnu echav ha-kehanim, milavarach v'shem, from that point on, the kehanim no longer used the shema mefirish. When they recited Birchas Kehanim, Rashi says, shlo yoyu kedai, they no longer consider themselves worthy of engaging in the shema mefirish as during his lifetime. Now we go to the next era, next period in history. So we spoke about during his lifetime, everything was great. After his passing, iffy. Now we'll go to the last tkufa of Bayis Sheni. The last 40 years of the Beis Hamikdash. At that point, it no longer, the Shem Hashem, the Lashem Lot, would no longer ever be found in the right hand of the Kohen Gadol. And that red piece of wool would no longer whiten on Yom Kippur. Throughout the year, the name Aravi would no longer burn longer than the other ones. And not only this, the doors of the Heichal would just open up on their own. So when the fellow unlocked them, they would just spring open. As an indicator of inviting the enemies into the Beis HaMikdash. Asher gar ben Rabbi Yochanan Zakka. Rabbi Yochanan Zakka yelled at the doors, and then they stopped their practice. Omar lo, he said to him, Heichal, Heichal, why are you scaring yourself? He said, Gerson, the Yerushalmi, why are you scaring us? Let us enjoy it while it's here. Yedani bach. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. Yedani bach. She soifach. Osir lechar. I know. Eventually going to be destroyed. Ukvar nisnabe. Alaych zechari ben idin. The Navi Zechari already said, describing the gullus, describing the churban, psach levonin lasecha, levonin the Beis HaMikdash, open up your doors wide. Vesoichal eish barazech, and a fire will enter and consume you. So I know opening doors is an indicator of the impending churban. Stop this practice. Let us enjoy it while it's here. Why is it so that we relate to the Beis HaMikdash with the term levanoin, white, whitening? Because it whitens, has a whitening effect, a cleansing effect on the Averis of Yisrael. That's where we brought the Karbonis. That's where they got true kapara. Omar avzutur bar tuvia. Lama nikra shmo yar. Why was Beis HaMikdash called yar? Tichsiv Beis Yar Halavonin. So once again, Levonin, Beis HaMikdash, why was it called Yar and Forest? Loim will have to tell you there's some sort of similarity between a Beis HaMikdash and a forest. Ma Yar Melavliv, just as a forest sprouts forth, puts forth growth, Av Beis HaMikdash Melavliv, likewise a Beis HaMikdash. Domar Hoysha B'Shoa Shebonu Shloim Beis HaMikdash. At the time, when Shloim HaMelech built a Beis HaMikdash, Noto Bei Kol Minei Megodim Shalzov. He planted in the Beis HaMikdash all different types of golden fruit trees. But you might see in Paris Vizmanein, we had this earlier in the Masechta, they would actually produce fruit at season. V'kivan sharuach min Hashem ben, as soon as the wind began blowing, ha'yunayishun perasem, the trees would shed their produce, their golden fruit. Shenema yirash kalvonin periyai. He will rustle, he will make noise like the Beis HaMikdash. His fruits, we see that there was fruit rustling and shedding the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kohanim use this as to sustain themselves, they support themselves from these golden fruit. As soon as the Goyim entered to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Yavshu, all the trees dried up. Shenemar Ferach Levana. This Perach of the Beis HaMikdash, Umlal, unfortunate and dried up. In the future, Hashem will restore this. Shenema Purech Tifrach, it will soon blossom again. Vetzogil Avgilas, and will be full of joy and glee. Veranein Kvoid Halavonin Itanlo, indicating that the honor of the Beis HaMikdash will be restored. Nasana Nashnas Ir. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Ken Gadol picked out the tickets and placed them, one on each goat. And he said, La'ashem chatas. And this was actually his 10th time expressing the Shema Mefarish in public on Yom Kippur. Tan Rabban, Eser Pa'amim, Maske Kohen Gadol, Es Hashem Be'Bayayim. On Yom Kippur, Kohen Gadol would utter Hashem's name, the Shema Mefarish, 10 times. Farshim point out that number 10 has special significance, especially when it comes to Kedusha. 10 levels of Kedusha until the 10th, which is the highest. That corresponds to the 10 mentionings of Hashem's name. How do we have 10? Gimel Bavidi Rishon. The first time around, this was back on Daf Lamed Hayyam Beis, he approached his par, and he recited Vidya for himself and his family. You may remember that he said it 3 times. Shem Hashem was mentioned 3 times. Ana Hashem, then again Ana Bashem, and concluded with the Pasuk, concluding with the words, Lefnei Hashem Tetorah. So that's 3. Gimel Bavidi Rishon, Ushloisha Bavidi Sheni. And likewise, another 3 times, Hashem, during the second vidui, which was actually with the same par, but this time he was confessing on account of his fellow Kayanim. So once again, we have 3 names of Hashem for a total of 6. Ushloisha b'sar mishtalech, 3 during the vidui, which involved the sir sent out to the midbar, And the final one, the one we just mentioned, Ve'echad Bigarilla, is during the lottery process. Says the Gemara, there was a miraculous phenomenon when it came to the Kohen Gadol's voice. As the Ravid points out, the following Gemara is based on Nisim. Kvar Omar Hashem, it so happens that the Kohen Gadol once expressed Hashem's name, V'nishma koyle b'yirichayin, his voice was heard all the way in Yirichay, far away. How far? Omar Rabba, Barachana, Mishalayim li'yirichay, was how far? Asura parasoy, now a parasoy is 4 mil. Roughly 4 miles. 10 times 4 miles? About 40 miles away. Not only that, Vitzir Dal Soisahechel, the squeaking, the creaking of the doors of the Hechel, the way they creaked when they opened up, that sound, Nishma Beshmoyne Tchum Shabbos, can be heard all the way out. 8 Tchum Shabbos away. Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 Amma. So 8 times that, 16,000 Amma away. Not only that, Izim Shebirichai, even the goats in Yerichai, they would sneeze merech akteris from the effect of the pleasant aroma wafting from the akteris from Yerushalayim ole to Yerichai. Not only that, noshem shebirichai, even the women in Yerichai, einon srichai es lisbasen, had no need to apply perfume merech akteris because of the odor of the akteris wafting throughout the city. Not only that, kala shebi Yerushalayim, even a kala who's accustomed to applying a high dose of perfume. So kala in Yerushalayim, eina tzricha liskashet, had no need to apply perfume, may reactors. And Mashal points out, this kala phenomenon was unique to Yerushalayim, but a kala in Yerichai would need some ktiris, because would need some perfume, because it wasn't so concentrated in Yerichai to offset the need for a kala applying perfume. A kala applies more than ordinary isha. So that was unique to Yerushalayim. In fact, my father had some goats in that area, and indeed they would sneeze as a result of the k'tiris wafting through that area. Rabbi Shimon Karch a certain elderly fellow related to me the following story. So it happens that I once went to the former Mishkan Shilei. Mishkan Shilei was a permanent structure on the bottom, had walls, and a material roof. So I visited that area, the ruins of Shilei, and I actually smelled the smell of Keteris Mibanks Kislea from within its walls. So the Keteris was actually embedded in the walls of the former Mishkan Shiloh and was still present. Okay, let's get back to Halach. Omer Biyanai. So we spoke about the lottery system, which the Kohen Gadol will pull out 2 lots and then place them on the appropriate goat. Now, placement on the goats is certainly not mi'akiv. Once you've determined which one is what, and that happened through the Aliyas HaGoyrel, through pulling out the lots from that box, that already determines and designates that the right goat is this, left goat is that. The actual placement, the hanocha, certainly is not mi'akev. What about the aliyah itself? The hagrola, is that mi'akev? Or can you just designate manually, verbally? Omer b'yanei, aliyas goyrel mitoich kalpi ma'akevus. Lifting those lots out of the girl, that's certainly critical. You cannot just verbally designate. Hanocha in a, I agree that placement of those tickets on the goats, that's not miyaka, that's not critical. It's a mitzvah, but it's not really vital and critical. Rabbi Yechon Omar, af aliyah in a, not only placement is not miyaka, but even the actual aliyah sagurl is not miyaka. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi here would be 14 lines from the top of the end. Beginning with the words aliyah sagurl mitoch kalpi makevis. This is Rabbi Yanai speaking. It's ma'akevus avoida, says Rashi. Shein asirim esparshim. The sirim don't get their designation. Zela shem v'zela zozel, ela al pi ha-girl. It only works one way, strictly through girl. Lefichach tzorech liris eze ola bimin. V'heisor shel yimin nikba boi. You have to take a look at the tickets, which you've taken out. And the turn, based on that, which designation is applied to which goat. So you take a look at the ticket in your right hand. Oh, this is the Yel Hashem. This is the right goat. Ve'eze ola b'smol, ve'eser shel smol nikbaboy. You take a look at the left ticket, and that determines the status of the goat on the left. Aval ha'nocha shel goyrel, al ha'ser eina ma'akva. But the actual placement of those tickets on the ser, that's not me'ak. Afilo yinichay olav. Sharei huk pashir bin b'goyrel, shel b'yemen. V'chein ser ha'smol, b'goyrel ha'smol. Because you've already determined that the right goat corresponds to the ticket in your right hand. And likewise, the goat on the left. So that is not mi'akiv. Once you've determined, that's okay. Placement on the goat, that's a mitzvah, not mi'akiv. Rabbi Yochanan says, even further, af aliyah ein ma'akevus. Even doing the slaughter to begin with is only a mitzvah, it's not mi'akiv. Vim yikra koin shem chatas alechad. Should the koin decide to say, well, this is a chatas. Vim azazel chaver, and the other one is azazel, hukpu. It's become designated, even without a girl. He missed out an opportunity, a mitzvah. But it's not miyak. Let's go back to the Gemara. So once again, Rabbi Yani says, all the hanocha, placement of those lots on the animals is not miyak. But hagrola is. Rabbi Yechon says, no. If you wish, you can go ahead and designate them verbally. Which one's Hashem, and the other one Lazos. Explains the Gemara. Alib Rabbi Yehuda. Now let's just stop for a second. The machlokes is later on the Masecht on Daf Samach. Between Rabbi Yehuda, who maintains that although we do find a lashon of chukah in the parsha of Achrim, in the parsha of Yom Kippur, what does chukah mean? Absoluteness, non-negotiable. Those steps, those processes described in the parsha are critical and vital to the success of Yom Kippur Mavoida. Despite that. Word of chukah, says Rabbi Yehuda, I want to tell you something. It's limited in scope. You see, on Yom Kippur, there were several phases to the avodah, as we discussed earlier. We had the big day zav, which were worn during the tamid, during the musaf, etc. We have big day lavan, which were designated for avodahs hayoyim, karbonis, which were unique and specific to Yom Kippur. But even within big day lavan, we have two categories. At some points, he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to perform Avodah. Those Avodahs are regarded way higher, says Rabbi Yehuda, than the Avodah is conducted even with Big Day Lavan, but outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore, he says, Chukah, which denotes absoluteness, you can't deviate from the Avodah. You can't miss something out. You can't rearrange things from the way they're supposed to be. That only applies, says Rabbi Yehuda, to Avodahs which were done wearing Big Day Lavan in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But otherwise, if you miss out, it doesn't disqualify the avodah of Yom Kippur. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Chemia says, anything, any avodah done with big day lavan, which of course are unique to Yom Kippur, even if the avodah was outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is critical, is vital, and would invalidate the entire Yom Kippur process. So once again, according to Nehemiah, anything done with Big Day Lovin is Me'akiv. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Big Day Lovin and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, two conditions need to be met in order to be considered Me'akiv. Getting back to the girl. How was the girl conducted and where was it conducted? Of course, he was wearing Big Day Lovin. Right? He put on the Big Day Lovin, he approached his par for the vidui, and then immediately went to do the girl. He was still wearing white. But where did it take place? We learned back on Daf Lamed Ches, it wasn't the Azara. It wasn't the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Sorry, on Lamed Zayin. So this was in the Azara. It was Bechutz. Is it Mi'akev? Was it not? Says, well, let's analyze. Let's analyze our discussion based on those Tanoim. I'll leave the Yehuda, according to Yehuda the Omar, Dvorim HaNasin, Bibig Delovim Bechutz, Loi Ma'akva, he maintains. Then Avodis, which were performed with Big Delovim, but they were done outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They're not Me'akiv. So according to him, Kuli Amalei Pligi, all agree. Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Yechon, of course, they all agree. The way Me'akva, Hagrola, which was done outside, that's not Me'akiv. There's no Shaila according to Yehuda, it doesn't disqualify the Avodah. It's not critical. You can just designate the goats verbally. Ki Pligi Alei Rabbi Nechemya. The question is only according to Nechemya. Whoa, that any Avodah in Kippur performed wearing Big Day Lavan connects to the day, it relates to the day, it gets added significance, and cannot be dropped. So according to him, we have a machlekes. What about the hagrola of the seir? Man da'amar ma'akfo k'rav Nechemya. Rabbi Yana, he maintains. Hagrola is ma'akev, he says, I'm following Rav Nechemya. It's an avoida. Maybe they love him. Of course that's me'akev. Uma'an da'amar ma'akfo. But Rabbi Yechon says, it's not me'akev. Why? Hani bile avoida. Rav Nechemya's principle only applies to true avoida. Avoida, which is considered part of the akrova of the animal. Kabbalah, this is Rika. Hagrola, love avoida. Doing the agrola, that's not really considered the high level avoida. It's only a hachona, it's only a designation. Tesis Shanim says, it's kriya shame. You're just designating it. It's not a true hakrova process, and therefore, says Rabbi Yechonon, even according to that opinion, Rabbi Chemi's opinion, that any avoida meant to be conducted with big day love and on Yom Kippur's ma'akev doesn't apply to hagrola. So in short, according to this version of the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no question. Hagrola is not me'akev. It's not something that's meant to take place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The question is according to Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Yani says, Hagrola? It requires big day loving. It's Yom Kippur related. It's part of the schedule. Unnegotiable. Whereas Rabbi Yechon says, that only applies to an avoida. An avoida can't be dropped. But this is not a true avoida. Second version of the Gemara, Iga de Amri, some presented the discussion as follows. Ali Rav Nechemya de Amar Ma'akva. According to Rav Nechemya, holds that any avoida done with Big Day Love and Yom Kippur is critical and vital. Kuli Amar Lei Pliga de Ma'akva. All agree. Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yani both agree. Hagrola is Ma'akiv. It's an avoida. It has significance. It's like any other avoida done with Big Day Love. There's no question. Ki pligi, when then is there a discussion between Rav Yana who says it's me'akev, and Rav Yechon who disagrees? I'll leave Rav Yud, but follow Rav Yud. Ma damar le me'akev, the one who says it's not me'akev, Rav Yechon, Rav Yud, I'm following Rav Yud, who says the only thing that's me'akev on Yom Kippur is something done A with Big Day Lovin and two in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Gairol doesn't conform to that; it's outside. Uma damar me'akev, but Rav Yana who says it is critical. He says, look, I'm following Rabbi Yehuda as well. But here it's different. Although it's taking place outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Shari Hacha, the Tana Beikra, we find a repetition in the Pasuk, Asher Allah, Asher Allah, in this Pasuk of Gerol, to repeat itself. And therefore, since we have Asher Allah, Asher Allah, Trei Zimni, says Rashi right off to the left, Shari Hacha, the Tana Beikra, Afagav the Chukah, Lava Lo Kaima, even though the word Chukah doesn't apply to anything outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Here it's different. Lava l'kaim l'akiv. Ma'akiv, here it's different. It's me'akiv. Sharei shina olav akosav l'akiv. The Torah repeats itself. Which indicates importance. Indicates absoluteness. U'mekra yiseiru nafkala yikuv. This extra pasuk, this repetition, denotes the critical nature of Hagrola. So in conclusion, what is me'akiv when it comes to the Hagrola? All agree that Hanukkah is not Ma'akev. The actual placement of those lots on the Karbonis, that's not critical. As long as he's already determined which one belongs to what. The one on his right hand designated to his right sir, the one to his left, to his left sir. He doesn't need to actually place it to mitzvah, but it's not Ma'akev. What about the actual Hagrola? Meaning, does he have to go ahead and conduct this lottery? Or can he just decide which one's what verbally? That's called the Aliyah. Is the Aliyah Ma'akev or not? According to version 1 in the Gemara, we have like this. All agree that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not me'akev, because the only thing that's me'akev is something done with Big Day Lovin, Vifnim, and the Kodesh HaKadosh, but not Hagrola. The question is according to Rabbi Nechemya, who says anything done with Big Day Lovin is me'akev. So according to Rabbi Yanai, yeah, it's me'akev. Rabbi Yechon says Hagrola is Lava Voida, and therefore is not included in that club. Version 2 of the Gemara maintained that according to Rabbi Nechemya, who says anything with Big Day Lovin is me'akev, Hagrola certainly is considered an avoida as me'akev. The question is according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that only something done with Big Day Lovin b'fnim is me'akev. Well, Hagrola, although done with Big Day Lovin, but it's outside, is it me'akev? Rabbi Yechon says no. Rabbi Yami says, well, here it's different. Because the pasuk says Asher Ola twice, which indicates that's not only a thing to do, it's absolute, and we're unyielding. Continues the Gemara Meisei on a Kashan or a Bryce. The Kash will be on the discussion between Amoraim, Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yechon regarding Hagrol. Mitzvah la Hagrol. It's a mitzvah to do the agrol. Vimla higrol, kosher. If he refrained from agrola, it's still kosher. It's nami akiv. Let's analyze the price. Bishleim alahach lish. Now it works well according to that lashon. Meaning the first lashon of the Gemara. The Amrus alibod Rabbi Yehuda, that according to Rabbi Yehuda says, the only thing is ma'akev, is something in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So according to him, kuli alma le pligid le ma'akev, all of Be'echen, Rabbi Yehuda agree, it's not ma'akev. Okay? So we have a manda Omar for this Brisa. This Brisa which said that it's not ma'akev, it's ha'man, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? So that's good. So Rabbi Yehuda says, since it's out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's a mitzvah, but not ma'akev. But according to the second lashon in the Gemara, the Amrus, what you maintained, pligi, that the machlokes between Rabbi Yannai and Rabbi Yochanan revolves around Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. And Rabbi Yochanan says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not me'akev, it's outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay? So according to him, we understand the price. Works well according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it's not me'akev, Hamani Rabbi Yehuda, this price is Rabbi Yehuda. It's outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why would it be Ma'akev? El Ma'adam Ma'akev. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, here it's different. Although it's outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have a repetition in the pasuk which denotes importance and absoluteness. Homani, who is the author of this brayser, who says that Misiyad HaGrola doesn't invalidate the carbon? We have no shita which holds that opinion. Rav Nechemya certainly holds its pasuk. He holds anything big they love in his pasuk. If missed. Rabbi Yehuda, in this case, he's masking that it's Me'akev. So who's the man d'omer? Ha'amani. Says the Gemara Tzni, let's revise the Mishnah. The Braisa, mitzvah lahaniach. The Braisa is not speaking about the actual hagrola, lifting the lots out of the lottery box. That perhaps is Me'akev according to some shittas. The Braisa is speaking about the placement, the hanocha of those lots on the curtain, and that's something which is only a mitzvah l'chatchila, and not mi'akiv. I'm going to all shittas. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's daf. Okay, God will approach the kalfi, the lottery box, which the Gemara tells us was not kodesh, made from wood, and had just enough room for both hands. How did this take place? According to our Mishnah, who is Rabbi Chanina Skana Kahanim, Ken Gadol would be solely involved, even though it involved his left hand, because that's better than getting a skan involved. Rabbi Yehuda maintained, no. The skan and the Kohen Gadol work together, both using their right hands. So he had a goat on either side. He took out one lottery in each hand and placed them on the respective goats. By doing so, while doing so, after doing so, he said, Lashem chatas. According to Rabbi Shmuel, Lashem. Lashem is sufficient, which elicited a response from the spectators. Ve'inon in Achrov, some say in fact that they actually bowed down when they said that, and they said, Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Eilom Ve'et. We learned that during the tenure of Shimon HaTzadik, during those 40 years, the Lashem ticket always came up in his right hand. The red wool with white and Yom Kippur, the name of Ravi, would last throughout the day. The Eish of the Marocha would last throughout the day without needing to be replenished. It was a Bracha on the Omer, Shtei Lechem Lechem upon him. After his passing, sometimes it worked, sometimes not. But the 40 last years of the Binyan, Lashem never turned out in the right hand. The red wool wouldn't whiten. The Maravi wouldn't last through the day. In fact, the Dalsas HaHichel would begin opening up until they were yelled at by Rabbi Yechon Mazak. We learned about the golden fruit growing in the Beis HaMikdash. 10 times that the Shema Farish was uttered by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, the sound of the Kohen Gadol on the doors of the HaHichel and the wafting aroma of the Keteres all the way to the far distance, the Reach went to the Richai and the sneezing goats and the Isha who didn't need to apply the perfume. And we concluded with a discussion regarding the Ikov of Agrola. We learned that Hanocha certainly is not Me'akev according to all Shitas regarding Aliyah, doing the actual Agrola. So according to the first version of the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that only thing that's Me'akev is the thing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, according to him, of course it's not Me'akev. The Machlokes is regarding Rabbi Nechemya. Anything Klei Lavan is Me'akev. Rabbi Yannai says it's Me'akev. Rabbi Yochanan says no, it's not Me'avoid. According to the second version of the Gemara, according to Rabbi Nechemya, of course it's Me'akev. It's done with Klei Lavan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, well, only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim it's Me'akev. And not outside, that's Rabbi Yochanan Shita, which Rabbi Yannai maintains. In fact, the Torah repeats itself. That indicates that it's absolute and must be done. Haslacha Rabban, all the best to you.